CliffCentral.com. Good morning. We are live. I'm live from my house, but the reason I sound the way I do is because I'm in complete darkness. Must have been some kind of power failure last night. And everything is, it's pitch dark. Can't see my hand in front of my face. So I'm on my phone, and Sia's in his house. I can see Sia, I can see Gord, I can see Mbulelo. And most importantly, you can hear us this morning, cliffcentral.com. Wednesday, it's the 1st of July. What a way to start a new month in darkness for me.
Oh, no. It is not an omen. It is not a sign for what is to come.
I hope so.
That's what you get for having a radio show that starts in the middle of the night, Gareth. I've been saying it for ages. You should move to daytime radio.
Exactly. Then at least we'd be able to see, you know, I can see where I walked, for example. I'm scared to even go to the bathroom because I can't see anything and I'll definitely stub my toe. You know, that always happens.
If you hear something in there, please check if it's your girlfriend before unloading your firearm.
No.
I'm just, you never know. Look, rather say it when it's not necessary than wish you did later.
I'm not one of those people.
Just now, Carl gets into the bathroom. Gareth gets a fright. Obviously, empty. Unload your 9 into the door and then go see what's there.
You remember when that was the biggest story of the year? Those were the days, huh?
And you can't even say, sorry, is that you, Carl? Because you don't have that option. Carl can't answer back in words. So you're in even more danger.
Gordo, what's happening?
Very little, bro.
Yeah, that's the problem, right?
Nothing to report. Just carrying on. Had a bit of work, but it's all projects that I discussed ages ago and that were kind of put on pause and that have now been like transformed into a skeleton of their former promise. But, yeah, man, it's still very, very quiet on the new briefs front, and Oaks are just trucking along.
Yeah, it's not exactly time, I mean, for advertising. Fuck, I don't know how people are managing.
I mean, worldwide, the major, I mean, most, there's only massive agencies and small agencies. All the medium agencies get absorbed by the giant international groups. Mm. And I work in quite a few businesses that are part of those groups, and most of them have put worldwide hiring freezes on and freezes on using freelancers, and people are either retrenching staff or taking salary cuts or both. So, you know, it's a symptom of the whole industry. Advertising is always kind of a function of profit. It's a reinvestment function. So, and I know that a lot of other freelancers, contractors, consultants, and people do stuff like what I do are feeling similarly. It just needs to eventually come back to normal. So it's nice to have something to do, even if it's work that I've had in my like financial prospects for months.
Sia, you were going to say? Sorry, interrupted you.
As Gord, you and I don't talk about emotional stability and not hardcore
all
shit.
All you talk about.
But,
I mean, that's literally the name of the group that you and I have on WhatsApp, emotional stability and hardcore shit.
Yes. But for the most part, as I think about it, you have been probably one of the most consistent people throughout this whole entire crazy time, just in having such an attitude of, well, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get on with it. And you have been, you know, so many people.
I don't know. It depends.
Moaning and groaning about.
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, I kind of have become quite withdrawn on social media. I just post funny stuff, check it a couple times a day and just roll my eyes. I've unfollowed, and I'm not exaggerating, but on day minus one of lockdown to now, I follow half the people. Yeah.
So it's posting funny stuff and just leaving it there is the best thing to do.
You've also got then that brigade of people that are like a little bit worried about you because you're not like being particularly outlandish or being terribly like, I'm just kind of getting on with it. Like everything's so repetitive. You get on social media or something and it's just complaining and negativity. And I realize now I'm having a whinge about that. It's kind of ironic. But, yeah, getting on with it and just making the best of it. At least I've had a couple of people.
What a depressing start to July. All right, I've got something I want to ask you.
I've at least had some people visit. That's my news. That's all of my news.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I've got something to ask Sia because Sia discovered his 2020 to-do list. You know, the stuff that he wrote down
for the year. Like and a resolution
just,
checklist.
Yeah, and he said he just pulled it out and laughed.
I too had plans. I had plans.
Yeah, all those best laid plans.
It is so sad.
Did you just start laughing at it and point?
Yeah, my
one. You know, I couldn't put myself through the actual process of throwing it away because I'm still slightly hopeful that this year could turn around. But I've just put it way back at the bottom of my drawer. It is sad. There are things like traveling. There are things like, you know, I've never attended one of those fabulous polos, and I always wanted to, as frivolous as it seems. Now, though, there's no polo that's going to happen. Let's put that down there. There are restaurants. Yeah, there are restaurants that I wanted to go to. That's not going to happen.
Your list of things to achieve for 2010 that you folded up and put under your pillow on New Year's Eve included restaurants you want to try. Like my yes! resolution, I'm going to go to Chez Lavange and sit there at a window facing table.
This is what Sia dreams of. Don't mock him.
I'm not mocking him. I think it's beautiful. I just want to know which restaurants were on 2020 hashtag you can do it this.
2020 was my year to be the next Barry Ronga, Gord, okay?
That's been my mission. I'm just too respectful of the current Barry Ronga. I don't want to infringe on that OG legacy territory until it's my time.
Well, I don't think he's even aware of what's going on. I mean, from what I understand.
So I hope he's okay, actually. Barry's a lovely man. He was always very good to me when we were on the movie review circuits together back in my FHM days. He was a lovely, kind man.
How are you, Gord? Are you going to give it a scintillating 7 as well?
Yeah, a scintillating 7. I gave him quite a few scintillating 7s. He always appreciated it. Well, I mean, it's a scintillating 6, but we measure from the underside.
Actually nominate you as his dauphin, as his successor?
Not formally. It was like a de facto kind of thing. I think we would chat after the movies. And look, I mean, I'm not even dissing him. He's a lovely man. He was always very, very cool to me.
Gord, you're a movie reviewer and you're fat. You can take over from me.
Yes, he was like,
Garrett, you're making it sound like a massive knighting ceremony.
You're eloquent, insightful, but more than that, you're so lovely and fat. Have you tried growing your beard?
And you have such a marvelous vocabulary.
I think if you just tried a beard, it would really work out, Gordon. Here,
put this waistcoat on. Let me have a look.
But actually, like for real though, Barry's a lovely man. He was always very kind to me and didn't have to be, and he was a lovely still is, I think, but I haven't heard from him in a while.
But also, Barry to me is one of those people who I just cannot imagine as a child.
Barry's not a child. He's a fully grown, he's a cherubic bearded adult man.
Can you imagine Barry Ronga probably rating his preschool experience?
I still have a thing that I call the George and Barry grill. I think I actually finally got rid of the George and Barry recently, but I was like,
what is that?
I was freshly moved out of home and I was working at FHM and I was still like accumulating my own personal furniture. You get like a bunch of hand-me-down shit from your parents,
right?
And which is great. I mean, you're fortunate for that. You use that shit for years and you slowly but surely start accumulating your own stuff. And I needed like a thing to make snackwiches and also cook food. And there was this advert where George Foreman badly on TV talks about the George Foreman grill. And he's like, the payoff line is something along the lines like, I like it so much, I put my name on it. And very shortly after, me and Kalani had decided we were going to get a George Foreman grill. We were at movies the next day and it came up and Barry was talking about how you really got to get one of these. And I was like, well, if George and Barry are both willing to put their name on it, it must be seriously good. So I went and bought a George and Barry grill and I continued to use the George and Barry. If you had to ask your daddy, like, hey, dude, in my kitchen, there's a George and Barry. Can you go grab it? You'd know exactly what to grab.
Yeah, it's funny. Sia says that Barry probably rated his teachers. You know, he'd get his report card and then afterwards he'd give them a report card. I thought English literature was rather there was a paucity of really good material there. You really could have done a lot better, Mrs. Johnson.
Mrs. Labuschagne's performance was heartfelt and sincere. But I found the plot line of Christian studies to be a little bit hard to get behind.
Yeah.
Violent, misogynistic lead character, confusing, contradictory storyline.
Yes.
Yeah. Too many cooks spoiling the broth. This Bible business suffers from the same problems as the Star Wars trilogy.
In some ways, I'm really glad that he was there during those years, because now, I mean, can you imagine how miserable he would be if he was reviewing Fast and Furious 26?
You know what? He really was. I talk about him like he's deceased. When on the movie circuit, he was a lovely guy. And yeah. I remember he thoroughly enjoyed Borat. And that was one thing that really sort of took me aback. And he thoroughly enjoyed the Talladega Nights and Anchorman movies. That was like a little phase for Will Ferrell. And I actually had to leave the Talladega Nights movie screening because I could not stop laughing. And even when Barry gave me the glance of like, that's enough now, I knew it was time to like excuse myself. I came back the following week and watched it again. Have you guys watched Eurovision on Netflix?
No, someone told me yesterday you have to see this. So it's also Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah, and yet it's like polarizing audiences because it's so stupid. You know, some people are like, that was the most moronic. They kind of don't get it. It's bad on purpose to the point of being fucking outstanding.
But you also need to know what you're getting yourself into. You know, Will will never look at his track record. He's never one to do something so highfalutin and super, super smart. You know that you're just going to laugh silly with something that he is in.
Yeah, but I mean, even by his standards, there's levels of silliness. Like, he took it not too far in the sense that it was outrageous, but he just took it too far to the point where it was incoherent with that, like, Sherlock Holmes movie.
You are Barry Ronis.
I mean, that was what I first...
Listen to you reviewing this movie.
I absolutely love movie reviews. It was the first job I ever got, was doing them for FHM. While I was still interning for them, they gave me that job, and then they gave me more freelance work, and then they hired me full time. So I started out doing movies there, and I did it for 10 more years. By the time I left there, I was one position more senior than the person who used to send me to go watch the movies. But I just never relinquished that title, man. Free breakfast, mug and bean vibes, the new Metro people would put it on, hang out with Barry, free popcorn, only have to start work at 11. What a time of life that was for me.
I can still to this day not go and see a movie during the day. I feel like I'm bunking.
Oh, I love it. It's like such an indulgence, especially when it's like morning. There's only other people there that are working, you know, like you just feel just like, and they're giving you free snacks and they've put out food. Yeah, but I mean, the movie reviewing press corps go out in numbers. So never less than like maybe 5 to 10 people, usually 20 or so. And then they give you free things. Snacks and stuff, best.
Yeah, but I always feel like if I'm seeing a movie during the day, I should really be working, and this is like, you know, you're skiving off and you're actually escaping responsibility. So I could never relax in the cinema and watch the movie. I was always like, shit, got to check my phone in case something important happens. I got to check in case there's a business meeting I've missed. Got to check in case there's some important document someone's waiting for, which is terrible. It's no way to live.
Hey, well, if your job is to write 150 words on whether the movie's good or not, and the movie people show it to you at a very specific time.
Don't be all sensitive. I'm not being sensitive.
You have to let yourself. I'm talking about when it is work, then it kind of assuages that guilt that you suffer with, GC. Like, I don't usually go just for shits and giggles. When it's part of your job, you don't feel that so much, and you just eat all the snacks, and it's the best.
Yeah. No, that I get, that I understand.
Hey, GC, before I forget, dude, something's really been worrying me since the last show we did, I missed last week because of this work project coming back in. I cannot get Friesland off my mind, man.
Talk about Friesland.
You and another listener messaged in, or it might have been someone on the team, I don't know, but somebody said something like, oh yeah, you were like, it's winter and he's gone. And someone was like, yeah, they just fucking die over the winter. And like, do you guys seriously get new rabbits every spring? put them into this idyllic, like, it's almost the fucking afterlife. It's such a beautiful, perfect situation. Kindly children stroking you every day, like green grass, mowed regularly. People leave parrots around with special messages. And then every winter they just all freeze. Somebody one day goes, ah, it hit -4 last night. Look at this. The bunnies are scattered across the lawn. And then come spring, you just get a whole lot of new ones. That can't be a real thing. Imagine he can't be fucking gone because he froze to death.
I've got a story to tell you, and then I also want to talk about Friesland. So Friesland is definitely gone. I said, and we've discussed this now, I think it's been 3 weeks in a row that you and I have talked about it, but I'm pretty sure he was taken by a bird of prey. As you said, death by sky.
Death by sky is a very real thing, especially the smaller you get.
Yeah, it wasn't that Friesland froze to death on the lawn.
What somebody suggested, and then one of the listeners was like, oh yeah, that's what happens, they freeze in winter. And
I never found a Friesland corpse, which makes me think it must have been eaten by some predator. But other one is still alive, that gray one, and I fed it a carrot yesterday.
You've got a gray one?
There's a gray one that's running around as well.
Did he look like he was going through mourning, like mourning the loss of a friend?
I told you the other day, this gray one sits and looks at the sunset every night. It's very depressing.
That is
very,
mourning.
Very depressing. It's definitely mourning because the gray the gray one had a fat gray friend in the beginning. Then the fat gray friend was somehow usurped by Friesland.
I had a fat gray friend, and then he stopped coming to the movie previews.
And then the Friesland one was suddenly taken, and this one is left on its own. And I kind of, part of me wants to get it a friend, but I don't want to be responsible for introducing even more rabbits to this place. I mean, I don't know where these came from in the first place. I didn't put them there.
Yeah, just like sort of get it an arch enemy. It's like I finally did it. I defeated all the other Highlander rabbits, and now there's just me. Yeah. My arch rival, Friesland, he was worthy, and he gave me a righteous matchup, but I defeated him. And now all that the eyes can see are mine. I just drop off a whole bunch of new young bucks, all fucking flexing, not hardened. Still optimistic, not hardened by years of battle. Because in bunny, like a summer in bunny years is like 5 years of your life, right? 10 almost.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a
don't
long
mess
time.
With the circle of life.
No.
So I think
I'm so glad you guys don't just get summer bunnies and then in spring just get more and go, ask, don't tell.
The story I want to tell you is that when we were kids, we did have pet rabbits. We lived on a farm, and we had this kind of, I suppose you could call it like a cordoned off area with an actual wooden hutch that they would live in when it was cold. And our herd of rabbits, what would you call them? What's the collective noun for rabbits, Gord? You would probably know this.
Probably a flock.
Anyway, there was
isn't it a warren? I mean, that's where they live.
But yeah, a warren is where I don't know. Anyway.
It is called a herd, yes. A herd, a colony.
Really a herd? Because I know you get bucks. Male bunnies are bucks, and I think that's so cool.
If you want to get very technical, in general, you can refer to a collective noun of rabbits as a colony or a warren. Domestic rabbits, you refer to them as a herd, and hares, you refer to them as a down of rabbits.
Wow.
What useless information.
No, I love this stuff. This used to make me so excited during an English exam when I knew the answer.
So you could have a down and put it near a watership, and you could name it your watership down. No, I'm saying, is that what it means? Watership down. Anyway, sorry, GC, back to your story about animals and things.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned watership down. That movie traumatized that. Even that music video
that movie
by Art
traumatized
Garfunkel.
The shit out of everyone. Jesus. You know how traumatizing old cartoons used to be. I mean, Bambi, recently found out is male, and I was shook by that. The movie starts off with him watching his mom die, and then, that's you just get your heart broken early on. I mean, some of those things are rugged.
I do think it's partly why our generation's a little bit tougher than the losers right now.
Because they traumatized the shit out of us with sad stories.
Yeah. So anyway, these rabbits, this huge colony of rabbits that we had, they there were probably about 12 eventually. And, you know, they breed rabbits. So that's what we expected. But the thing about these rabbits is one night they were out and my mother gave them cabbage for a coleslaw that she was making, because we were having people around the next night. And
so your mother had the rabbits make the coleslaw. Did she train them to do that?
No. So she made a coleslaw, and then she put it in the fridge, and she gave the outside leaves of the cabbage to the rabbits.
Okay.
Right? Okay. And lo and behold, the next morning, all the rabbits were dead.
Oh, my God. The rabbits are allergic to mayonnaise.
No, apparently, they didn't have the mayonnaise. But all these rabbits are lying with their feet up in the air, and they were all dead. Apparently, the outside leaves of this cabbage were poisoned. There was either an insecticide or something on them. And it was, you can imagine, there was crying. My little sister was crying. All the rabbits are dead.
You guys saw that?
It was, oh my God, it was very bad. It was really bad.
I'm more concerned about the fact that a few edge leaves from a coleslaw have got enough poisonous fucking shit in them to turn a whole herd of rabbits' feet up. And like, because the biomass of all those rabbits is probably quite similar to a human. And you're like, wait, hang on. That's killed X amount of mammal. This equation doesn't bode well for me.
Exactly. So we threw out the coleslaw, obviously.
But you kept the pelts. I mean, God, if I've taught you nothing, go.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What?
My buddy Hagen, I think you might know him. He used to be my editor at FHM. He is a Spanish captain. He's a lovely guy. And he always told this hysterical story of growing up in PE with a German father. And when he was a kid, they just took in like a suckling pig, and they had it for like a year. They had it
as one does.
They were growing it, and it was getting fatter and bigger. And then one day there was like a family braai. And Hagen was like, well, what's going on? He's like, no, that's Pinky. And they all like laughed and thought it was hysterical about how fun and great it is that they're eating the pig at last. And he didn't know that was scheduled to happen. So he's standing there holding a pulled pork Prego in the middle of the early, in the mid 1970s, howling in tears.
I don't understand how people can do that. Like, if you have a pet animal, the minute you give it a name, even if you grow up on a farm and there are lots of animals that you regularly slaughter and eat, you can't eat the ones that you've named.
I don't know. Yeah.
A lot of people would dispute that.
I name them after they've been killed. I'm like, hello, beautiful.
What?
Once it's a ham sandwich.
Oh, my God, God, that is disgusting.
Hey, sweetheart.
That is the most carnivorous thing I've ever heard you say.
The most carnivorous.
To be fair, I'm actually becoming more and more omnivorous. Like, I get a bit weirded out eating meat these days. I still do, but, like, less often. I kind of see it as a thing to avoid until the craving kicks in, as opposed to something to try to, especially red meat. Like, it's not like a big, you know, like, virtue signaling hippie trip. I just find it less enjoyable the more I've kind of spent time ruminating on what I'm actually doing.
Shay, man, sorry, I still can't get this image out of my head. It is the saddest thing to picture tons of these cute rabbits. Oh no, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're telling me. I mean, there was a lot of crying that day.
And how old were you, Gareth?
Oh my God, Sia. I was probably 12, 13, but my little sister, she was tiny.
Oh, no. All the rabbits.
And she cried.
Just littered with bodies. And all from, like, wiling out and going nuts on some edge leaf coleslaw. I'm really concerned that if store-bought leaf vegetables kill rabbits these days, or even back in the 80s.
Yeah.
No, it's horrible. Okay, we're going to do some headlines, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the five things that you need to know. Dum, da, da, dum, da, da, da. Yes, that's how it goes. That's the news sound, right?
Yeah.
All right, so the first story you need to know. Pilot was killed in a plane crash at Vonderboom Airport in Pretoria.
Who was?
Not a nice story. 20 emergency services have confirmed an aviation student died in a light aircraft crash. What?
Sorry, I was going to ask you what the name of the person was. You cut out in the beginning there, GC. Who was killed in a plane crash?
A student pilot.
Okay.
An aviation student.
Oh, terrible, man.
Charles Mabaso, who's the emergency spokesperson, said it was unclear what caused the incident, but the student was the only person on board and she was declared dead at the scene. Horrible. Yeah, imagine
sure.
that.
Yeah.
ENCA reporting this morning that the SIU, Special Investigation Unit, has uncovered corruption in the state attorney's office. Now, what's scary about that is up to now, that's been one of the few places that hasn't been rotten and corrupt. Already 10 criminal cases have been lodged against advocates who are accused of defrauding the state of 136 million rand. The Special Investigative Unit told Parliament on Tuesday it's already in the process of challenging the validity of judgments in the Eastern Cape. That's rampant corruption in both the Eastern Cape and Gauteng. Horrible, right?
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the latest.
They should pit the provinces front. Against each other like competitive corruption. We should like know which.
Oh my God!
Yeah, who's winning every year?
Well, I think the Eastern Cape would win every time. It seems the Eastern Cape is easily one of our most rotten provinces.
Each province has got its own strengths, different types of guile, different strategies.
That's because there's nothing else to do in the Eastern Cape except be corrupt. It's like a pastime of theirs. I actually sympathize with them.
Jesus. It's a pastime of theirs, is it?
There's also nothing to do there, I was just about to say. Like, in the Eastern Cape, there's nothing to do but corruption and or boning, or corrupt boning. Like, if you don't have someone to bone, you're going to go and do corruption. That's just, that's it. That's all that you can do, or go to church group.
Oh, and as per the story you retold just a while ago, Gord, then raise animals and name them and then eat them.
Yeah, get a small pig and save it for when it's bigger. Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Coleslaw Rabbit Massacre of 1985, Gareth. Did you at least hold on to those pelts? I mean, then they'd still be with you.
Look, the Rabbit Coleslaw Massacre.
Rabbit Day, we call it. Did you at least save those sweet, sweet pelts? Because I guarantee if you cured them right, you'd still be fucking getting value out of them today.
All right, back to the head. Zimbabwe's security force leaders. Sidelined the nation's economic chiefs and forced the government to close the stock exchange and halt most mobile money transactions. Now, you know, in Zimbabwe, this is people's lifeblood because relatives of theirs here in South Africa transfer money to them on their phones, right? So the government has decided to shut down mobile money transfers because they've just lost control, complete control of the economy, and it's in free fall. Apparently, you know, the interest rates are just at unbelievable levels. Inflation is insane in that country at the moment. And they've sought to stabilize the nation's currency after pressure from the Joint Operations Command was made without notifying the central bank, which regulates mobile money. they asked not to be identified because the role of the JOC hasn't been disclosed publicly. But if you're a Zimbabwean at the moment and you rely on mobile money from your relatives, you're in big shit right now. As if those people don't have enough to deal with.
Exactly.
So basically, you've been cut off from any amount of money that you might need from the rest of your family who are working outside of Zim because it's such a basket case.
Yeah, and sudden changes. And
then, I mean, while we're talking about actual basket cases, you can't do that, right?
Even if you are going to do it for whatever stupid reasons, you don't just say, hey, by the way, the rules changed today. Like, you've got to tell people, look, like, we've decided this thing for whatever reason that may or may not be bullshit is unlawful or whatever. Like, we're going to phase it out over 6 months. Like, people need to figure out an alternative plan.
Angola, while we're talking about corrupt and backward banana republics, Angola's prosecutors.
Or Ananab republics, as we call them.
Correct. Angolan prosecutors on Tuesday sought a 7-year jail sentence for the son of former President José Eduardo dos Santos for allegedly embezzling, listen to this, $500 million from state coffers. Mm. Now, you know, the daughter, Isabel dos Santos, is also as crooked as can be. So this whole family, this whole DeSantis family should just be thrown in jail.
You've got to embezzle subtly. You've got to, like, do a little bit here and a little bit there. You need to, like, skim off the top, not mine the fucking core.
The word embezzle is such a great word.
It is a great word. And it's always reminded me of...
What is Gordlaw's doing this morning? I think he may be embezzling.
It's like old school seediness. Yes.
Well, that's exactly what I am doing. Old school seediness. So it'll work. I always found embezzle sat nicely alongside the word inveigle. I love that. Like to inveigle yourself into a social situation or a position of favor. It always, those two words always kind of remind me of each other.
Oh, I do like a good word. Your Barry Ronga creeping up.
Yeah, well, I mean, Barry is part of my Barry is part of my DNA as a journalist.
Yes, he was nominated to be my successor, but he just unfortunately he followed a different path.
Mm. Yeah, like he took the pot and he took the drink and he took to the whoring. And
if
never
only
could
he'd
we
stayed clean.
Yeah. Stayed in movies and vicariously lived 1,000 different love lives.
Anyway, so this DeSantis family are rotten to the core. This kid was called, he was nicknamed Zenu, and he was charged with pilfering 500 million euros, as I mentioned earlier, $500 million from the fund, alongside the former governor of the National Bank of Angola, who was called Walter Felipe da Silva, and two others. It's funny that a bank governor was called da Silva. Anyway, the funds were allegedly transferred to a Swiss bank account during the DeSantis presidency. You know, this country is one of the poorest countries, but it's got some very, very wealthy people, most of them surnamed Dos Santos. If that isn't proof of all kinds of nefarious corruption and embezzling, yeah, I don't know what is. Lock them away and throw away the key. Why is it impossible for people who do such grand crime to ever find themselves into a jail cell? And yet the dude who's dealing weed on the side of the street gets arrested, thrown in the van, and you never see him again.
Why indeed, Gareth?
It drives
me
crazy.
Why are we still
Gordon?
Dealing with these terrible injustices? Yeah, weed-related crime is fucking idiotic.
Any of these petty crimes, you know? Ordinary people, they get locked up and they get put in a waiting trial prison for years. That before they even get sentenced. And then these people, these DeSantis assholes who've basically raped the country of Angola for years, they all live in luxury and immunity forevermore.
So I think the key take out here that we all just have to keep in our hearts and our heads going forward as we try to breathe light into this dark world is when you get the chance to rip someone the fuck off, go with it. There's no consequences. Life sucks. It's unfair. Eat the small guy and eat his children.
But do it on a grand scale. Don't fuck around with a couple of million here or a couple of million there. Go for the 500 million embezzling. That's what
goes
you need to do.
Straight for the jugular.
Or, you know, as we say in political strategic circles, coleslaw the whole herd.
Exactly. Ah. That's it. That is actually the terminology.
Coleslaw the herd. Fucking tail as old as time.
You know, Mexican prosecutors have requested 46 arrest orders for public officials over charges of forced disappearance and organized crime as a part of a new probe into the disappearance of 43 student teachers.
Mm.
Now the Mexicans are abducting student teachers. Did you ever have a hot student teacher at school?
I had many hot teachers. I'm not sure what the student to full-time teacher ratio was, but yes.
Oh, yeah, the student teachers really had it going on.
Yeah, because the student teachers didn't have a permanent post. So they would come in, and they'd be these girls who were straight out of university or they were finishing their last year at university, and they really wanted to be teachers. But they were closer in age to us. So, you know, somehow we thought that they were more accessible to us than the old bags who would teach us, you know, matric maths.
I love a good old bag. I still do. I just always loved older women. And I always thought that as I get older, like I assumed excuse me, I assumed that, like, you know, 17 and, like, into my teachers and my friends' moms, I figured, like, okay, by the time I get, like, 30, 40, I'm going to start liking the women to get a bit younger. And somewhere in my 30s or around 40, they're going to be, like, my age. And then I'm going to become, like, a dirty old man that's perving the younger chicks. Yes. But I just, yeah, like 40s, uh-huh. even into the 50s, that's, like, Valhalla. And I think it comes from having hot teachers growing up.
You've projected this onto these poor women and they have no idea.
You know what? It was my dream to project onto them, and I've achieved that a couple of times since my childhood. So 16-year-old Gord is quite happy with projection levels at the current moment. In fact, astonished by the unlikelihood of what's happened.
Well, amazingly, I mean, this is just unbelievable. So these student teachers have disappeared. And they're all in Guerrero State, where the students from the Rural Teachers College just disappeared. And they're trying to find these 46 student teachers. And they have not found a single bone to prove that these people are alive or dead.
Well, finding a bone wouldn't go a great distance towards proving that they're alive. But probably help you with your hypothesis on the dead. I went to Mexico City and, like, an absolute shithole of a place. But, like, I'm happy to travel as long as the travel itself works. So, like, the flights, everything's, like, the accommodation, the transport, the organization is – I'm happy to go see a shit place.
Describe how shit it is and so why
you arrive. So you arrive, and the like airport is just made out of the 1970s, but like not in a good way. And then you queue for, and you immediately think to yourself, like, if they do no maintenance on OR Tambo for about 15 to 25 years, this is where it'll end up. And you go through, and I had like I had my Velikitas, and then I had my little backpack, and the dude like stopped my bag kind of randomly. Opened it and searched through every single thing. And he wasn't like particularly aggressive with it, but he didn't like refold it either. I kept talking to him in English saying, cool, are you looking for anything specific? And like trying to sort of voluntarily give my details because you're a little nervous. You've just arrived in a new country being searched. And he searched the whole thing and completely ignored me until he was done. And then he smiled and said, please carry on. But I had also a backpack. And I was like, do you want to check my backpack? He's like, please carry on. I'm like, oh. You didn't just search my bag. You searched, like, the soles of my shoes. And I have a backpack. Are you sure you don't want to search my backpack? And then immediately I was like, okay, this is some bureaucratic shit. And then to do the distance of the airport to Santon was like a 2.5-hour traffic mission. It was just the worst ever Joburg traffic you've ever seen. That is Mexico City for all of daylight hours. Then it's like it's the most polluted city in the world, or it's like always vying with one other place for first or second place. And their whole city is built on a lake that was irrigated by like the Aztecs. So it's sinking. So you have these little earthquakes, and then you cannot drink the water because it's pumped up from underground where the last remnants of the lake are. But the sewage also drains down into the underground river. So they're like, they say don't even get the shower water in your eyes. Like, don't brush your teeth with it. It's fine to wash yourself with. It's time. It's fine to wash yourself with. It's fine to flush with.
Don't even, but like,
don't open your eyes in the shower.
So then why
there was
a
fucking earthquake? And I made friends with the dude from the hotel. I didn't want him to carry my bag because I'm South African. He then told me he's going to get in trouble if he doesn't. So I carried my bag, and then we started chatting. Alejandro. Then he took a day off work to like
show me my friends around.
Then he told me he'd been in jail in Texas. And then he told me that, but they took me on a jaul. It was awesome. Him and his friends, they couldn't believe like that we have like lions and shit in South Africa. But, at the end of the trip, after such wonderful hospitality and becoming pals and promising to stay in touch, he asked me if I wanted to bring drugs into South Africa.
No.
Swear to God.
He was grooming you.
Yeah, well, I didn't feel groomed. It felt like we'd made actual friends and he spent a bunch of time with
me. Well, that's a good groomer.
And felt like he'd gotten – well, it was a hell of a gamble on a fifth – just to, all of that like hospitality and coolness and friendship for like 5 days – just to have a 50-50 shot at a question at the end, it feels like it wasn't very effective grooming. He was like, Gord, are you interested in this? And I was like, no. And he was like, okay, cool.
Gord, you are lucky you got a 50-50 shot. Alejandro could have made a shank out of the beer bottle he was drinking out of and said, actually, it's not a question. You stuff this up, you know where, and you're taking this to South Africa.
I don't know. My trips Alejandro don't end like that. But
I've watched a lot of Banged Up Abroad to know what goes on.
So Mexico really is shit, and that's why so many Mexicans want to go to America, right?
They say the coastal areas are beautiful, but I mean, I only went to Mexico City, so I didn't see any of the coastal stuff, because the south of the country, from the middle down, it's run by the government, and from the middle up, it's run by the cartels. And then there's that uneasy tension in this sort of meeting place, which where like the pyramids and all that shit is. There's cool shit to see there. But yeah. I remember we were eating at a restaurant in Mexico City, and the fucking army, when I say the fucking army, I mean the whole fucking thing, was just going down the main road while we were sitting on this balcony eating. And we were like, what is this? And they said, oh, there must be cartels up north. And like, oh, these like troop carrying vans, like 30 of them, each one with like 30 dudes in it. And then like military trucks. And then like there was a tank on a truck. It's like they were moving the army to a different province. And I was like, wow, that's an actual army going to do army things. They need to drive down this road to get to where they're going to go and shoot the shit out of a bunch of humans. I was like, that's real as fuck.
No, you don't see that every day.
I reckon, count me in for like Yucatan and for those beaches that are on the Caribbean. But as for the rest of Mexico, if I never go there, I'll be fine with that.
Where the cocaine flows.
Yeah.
Till you get a bloody nose.
Mm.
And if they kidnap you, you will not know about it. Because you are
laid out in Mexico.
Mexico, Bermuda. That place is awesome. But Mexico is so shitty, like an armpit. It's stinking, it's shaking, and the water's putrid.
Oh. Beautiful.
We'll leave there fast and then we'll stay away. This place is totally shit. We're down in Mexico. Corruption, solution. Yes. There's no solution.
I can see their Department of Tourism scrambling to get the rights to that song of yours, Gord.
I'm actually told. That is a great song. Maybe your best one yet. Corruption, pollution. There is no solution. Jesus Christ. And the water is so beautiful.
Army, oh my God, no.
This is definitely worth waking up in the dark for. This is great.
Yeah.
All right.
I climbed a pyramid, and I was in a particularly fat phase of my life, similar to the one I'm in now. And I was like determined to climb the pyramid of the sun god and the pyramid of the moon goddess at Teotihuacan, the abandoned city that no one knows who built. Yeah, you know the Aztecs and shit? They found a city. They were like, ooh, this is empty of all humans, with no sign of a departure, no sign of a mass death. It's like these people evaporated. And they then made that a holy site. So, you know, when the Aztecs have found a city and are perplexed by who the fuck might have built it. Anyway, like, I just remember that being one of the hardest things I've ever done. And a Mexican pyramid is like everything else in Mexico. It's like,
what?
It's like you bought a fucking Egyptian pyramid off Wish
and broke it.
Wow.
I mean, it's still impressive in that, like, if you said, like, okay, a bunch of dudes with not a lot of technology.
An Egyptian, really great Egyptian pyramid, 45 degree angles all around. You get it, you'd be like, oh shit, this is so cheap. Because it's on Wish. And then it arrives and it's like flatter and.
Oh no.
It doesn't have steps and it doesn't have an entrance and, you know.
The rocks are roughly hewn. Who hew these rocks, guys? God.
Teotihuacan. How do you say it?
Teotihuacan.
Teotihuacan.
Yeah, Teotihuacan.
I've always wondered how to pronounce that because I used to read about the Aztecs and I could never pronounce any. Who's that, the god? Quetzalcoatl or something.
Oh, yeah. Not Kotal Khan. He's a Mortal Kombat character, but he's.
Oh.
Kotal means king god. So whatever his name is, Kotal's a designation.
Wow. I love that stuff. And you say. So you hang on. You say that the Aztecs discovered that city and they weren't even sure who built it.
Yeah, the Aztecs or the Mixtecs or the Abednitecs. No, it is the Aztecs that were the.
Yes, the Aztecs are in Mexico.
My Aztecs and my
Incas.
My Aztecs and my Incas confused, but yeah, it was the Aztecs. And the cool thing, the amazing thing about this is it's surrounded by like it's in the middle of the desert where like agave and sadness is the only thing that grows. Like
yes.
Fucking Karoo if it was in a bad mood, and right. Like. But the outside, which is now weathered away, and the insides, which is still perfectly intact, of all of their buildings, including the pyramids, they were not stone facade. They were thickly coated in this red plaster that like looks like clay, red clay brick stuff that mm-hmm. you see in South Africa, and smooth and plastered with paintings and everything. And there's one or two rooms there that you go inside, like. They show you, you go inside one of the buildings and like the inside is this glorious red finish with paintings everywhere. And they had like jaguar fucking cages. But the thing about this red plaster is that it's made out of like trees and plants that grow where it's like wet and lush. And that area used to be like that. But it seems as if like these people might have irrigated the area completely dry and then sort of, but another thing is that there's no mass remains. There's no sign of like, everybody packing up their shit and leaving. There's no sign of an abandonment or a war. Their shit was just like, even the animals in the cages and stuff just died in the cages. It's like, it's as if the people evaporate. They've never been able to find what happened to them. And also like, as I said, it's in the middle of the desert, but their buildings are completely covered in a paste that you make from like farming the shit out of lots of plants. They don't know how that stuff got there if it wasn't growing there.
Extraordinary. I love stuff like that. Just
wow.
It takes up all of my time reading things about these lost civilizations. It's unbelievably exciting to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think the Roro is bad because like a wet market in China, imagine like white people arrive on your continent for the first time. You're already, if you ever dig life and whiter people than you arrive in some form of transport you don't recognize, you pack this shit up and you get the fuck on out of there. I think there's probably like intergalactic fleets of space whites that like do the same thing, land on different civilizations and fuck shit up.
Space whites.
If you see a sneezing person who you've never seen before of unusually light skin in a vehicle that you don't recognize and he starts to cough, you get the fuck out. Doesn't matter how nice your climate is, you go live in fucking Poland, you'll be fine.
You know, the interesting thing is I watched a movie once about this. It was actually a pretty scary movie. I can't remember who directed it. It might have been like one of those Mel Gibson type movies, but okay. It was about these kind of Mexican or Aztec or Inca or Mayan people who lived.
Apocalypto.
It could have been Apocalypto.
Mel Gibson
Mike.
Directed thing
yes,
with his
yes,
name
okay.
is Running Paw, and it's all in subtitles. That movie was fucking.
I don't believe it.
So dank. That movie was so good.
It's a great movie, and I mean, it kind of gives you the perspective of. What it must have been to – it was definitely the Aztecs because there were pyramids and human sacrifices, and that was very much an Aztec thing. But, you know, it gives the perspective of what it must have been like for these people when their whole world was thrown into complete disarray.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not as if – you know, because people – you're joking, but obviously you're not about like the white death that came because white people brought diseases from Europe that part of the world had never experienced before. And it wiped out probably two-thirds of the population of South America and Central America.
Yeah, and their whole system was based on runners. That was how they were so good at spreading messages across their entire empire. They had, like, signal fire, because it's all
right.
Just peaks and valleys of a mountain range.
Right.
And so you had really fit guys that could sprint and run medium distances. They
but,
were like,
but be under no illusion that it was paradise, because...
No.
They would sacrifice the people. Still beating hearts out of like young maidens.
They would cano people in real life.
Yeah.
But they had signal fires that they would light, and certain ways of lighting them would convey basic information. And those would like, so you imagine you've got a bird's eye view of a fucking mountain range that goes on thousands of kilometers, and you just see sort of coming on one at a time, lights, and the message gets across. But then you've got a dude who runs faster, like runs and then dies of exhaustion, like does like 30 Ks of mountain as quickly as a human has ever done it and passes the message to them. And the speed of it's faster than any one person could ever like travel.
Phenomenal.
And so those dudes make physical contact during that. So the way of saying there's a sickness, everyone's dying, you know, run for your lives, was to send the sickness around this internet of physical contact that they had.
You know, there are still languages there that they haven't managed to translate properly. So there's still a lot of the written language, whether it's in stone or on you know, metal or whatever it might be that the record is kept on. They still haven't managed to decipher some of those languages.
It's like when you read the message on rock, you have to get the tempo right, and when you read it on metal, you have to read it way more aggressive. Like, okay, we'd like to read the music from the rocks. Well, today in the city, going to get a couple of supplies. So go ahead. Let's read the
metal.
Let's read the metal parchments. Like,
bake sale in the common today. Bake sale, bring your change. To benefit the god Tetum Kotokrak and his building of a new crest center.
I don't know how your brain works, Lord. I really sometimes don't. They would write their messages on blue grass, of all things.
How did the blue grass one sound?
I can't do a decent impression of blue grass, but they were kind of peppy with a whimsical twist. Now today we're going to the water. We're gonna get on the boats and flee for our fucking lives. Everybody getting really fucking sick and sacrificing the slaves doesn't work. Also, I've always thought like sacrificing other people and things. It's like, right, let it come here. Like, what? We're sacrificing you, but I'm not even part of your religion. It's okay, we're sacrificing you. You don't even like me. It's not much of a fucking sacrifice. Like, come with your hand, take it to the altar and be like, hominom, hominomom, hominomom, and fucking sacrifice that or someone you like. Right, we captured a bunch of slaves. Perfect. Sacrifice them. But this isn't a sacrifice. In fact, they're going to kill us anyway. Just for shits and giggles. It's literally like giving God the pair of socks you got from your granny that you don't like after Christmas.
Exactly. Oh. It's not really a sacrifice.
Hey, God, happy birthday, Christmas, merry birthday. Got you something.
I got you something.
Two mince pies and a pair of knitted socks.
Oh God! Yeah,
give God something you like.
Yeah, if it's a sacrifice, it has to be something you've given up, not something that was extra. Not something.
And now,
that was...
Dark Lord Satan, in your name, I present you this lenticular poster of a Lamborghini I got when I was 17. All hail! Blessings be upon us.
No wonder you never got any blessings.
God's been trying to make it clear that she hates me my whole life, and I just don't get the message.
That is hilarious.
We're going to bless this guy with a sense of humor and nothing else. See how that pans out. Take away all his right. physical fitness.
Oh, my God. Listen, if it sounds slightly different this morning, it's because I'm lying in partial darkness. There's no power where I am. I think there's been some kind of major power failure. So I don't have my studio operating. I'm basically doing this whole thing from the phone, and hopefully you can still hear us. Hello, hello.
Lying in Partial Darkness is a cool album name for like a...
You reckon?
For like a Bullet for My Valentine type hair-scene metal band of the early 2000s.
I'm just hoping my metal album doesn't break down because my battery on my phone is dying. So hopefully that continues in the next hour. Mfundo is going to play us a song, and then we'll come back with some more. The Gareth Cliff Show, it is Wednesday. Gord is with us, the 1st of July. I certainly hope this power failure where I live isn't indicative of how the rest of July is going to go. Otherwise, I give up.
It'll be funny when your phone dies a battery and me and Sia do the show, and without you present, have free reign to say what we like and stop
imagine if it goes even better.
Where it's just Sia. That would be a good show, actually.
Yeah.
No.
But Sia is quite oppressive. I mean, I heard him talking to some people.
Excuse me?
He's an oppressor by nature.
I don't know how you get to that, GC. I'm being open-minded. I'm waiting for the end of this before I make my, but it's not going well so far.
Thank you very much, Cord.
You must hear how Sia talks to people who are below him on the scale. Very, very oppressive.
Most people are below me on the scale, so I'm kind of used to that dynamic. I could sympathize. They are fucking annoying. Smalls, I call them.
Smalls. All right. Fudo's going to play us a song. We'll be back with more of the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com next. Cliffcentral.com.